Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Lois Gerhardt. Welcome, Lois. It's great to have you with me.
Hi, Gloria. I'm really excited to be here.
Since we know that you've listened to some of the previous episodes, you'll know that we start at the beginning. Where were you born?
I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. Although we didn't live there very long, we moved there after about 9 months. And I was born there because my dad, who is from upstate New York, had asthma, and his doctor prescribed living in Arizona for him. And so he and my mom, who were at EMU at the time, moved to Phoenix, where he finished his undergraduate degree. And then we moved shortly after that to Denver, where he did his master's degree. And I was raised in Colorado.
How many siblings do you have, and where do you fit in the family?
I have one younger sister. She's 3 years younger than me. So yes, I am the oldest, an older sister, and I fit that stereotype quite well, actually.
What are some of your memories of growing up in Colorado? What made it different than, say, some other places you might have been?
I loved Colorado, and I still do. My memories center mostly around being raised on a livestock farm. And one of the things that my sister and I did all summer, I feel, if my memory serves me, is we played Little House on the Prairie. And I was Laura, and she was Mary because she had blonde hair. And we actually played Little House on the Prairie in the pig pens when the pigs weren't there.
So in addition to going to school, your father was also, quote unquote, running a farm?
We owned the farm and somebody else ran it. Both of my parents are from farming backgrounds, dairy farms in upstate New York. So yeah, we had a farm in Colorado.
You went through high school there?
I didn't. When I was 13, my father decided that it was important that my sister and I go to a Mennonite high school, and the nearest one was in Oregon. And so we sold the farm and moved to Salem. We bought a fruit farm there from a Mennonite farming family that had lived on that farm for a long, long time. And I went to Western then, and so did my sister.
Was that a difficult transition for you at that point in your life?
No, I was absolutely thrilled to leave cow country. And I thought Salem was the big city, and I was really excited to start a new life in the big city of Salem.
Were both of your parents raised Mennonite, so you have always known Mennonites or been raised Mennonite?
That's an interesting question. My father's family is very much Mennonite, in fact, conservative Mennonite. So I was raised in many aspects as a conservative Mennonite. And then my mom's family was Jehovah's Witness. She was not, but an example of how that affected me growing up was the letters that we got from New York. We got letters from my grandma on my dad's side, and they were all about how to live a sinless Mennonite life. And then my other grandma would send us letters telling us how to live so that we would be one of the 144,000 that would be counted at the end times. So it was interesting to have both of those aspects, but very much my upbringing was conservative Mennonite. I wasn't allowed to cut my hair or pierce my ears, and I had to wear a dress up until I decided I didn't have to do those things.
And when was that? Was that before you left home, or was there some rebellion in there?
When I went to Western, there were some opportunities to sneak some things in. One of the things that I did that I think is hilarious was my roommate pierced my ears, and she did it with a needle and an apple. So on the weekends, we would go home. So I would go home that weekend, and I would have my ears covered up with my hair. And three times I got caught So I had to take the earrings out. But one time we made it through, and so I do have pierced ears.
And how did your parents meet?
They met at Woodville Mennonite Church in the youth group. And my dad's brother is married to my mom's sister, and they met there at the same place. So I have double cousins, which is kind of a fun thing. I have about 45 cousins, and one of my cousins, who's a double cousin, was born right around the same time I was. So I've often felt that if I were to have a brother, it would have been him.
So you went to Western Mennonite High School for 4 years?
I did.
Tell me a little bit about what life was like there. It sounds like you were one of the students who lived in a dorm or on campus.
Yep. I was there. I graduated in 82. I loved Western. I loved every minute of being at Western. I was all in. My class was very small, 26 in my graduating class, actually. And we were very close. There were 9 of us that were there for 4 years, and I'm still close with some of them. And as a class, when we have reunions, it's really amazing how much we share together still. One of my classmates is Jenny Snyder, so it's fun to reminisce with her sometimes.
With Portland Mennonite, we might just add.
Yeah, yes. And I think that at Western, I was more interested in the social life than I was maybe the academic life. But for me, living in the dorm was just a blast. And yeah, it was a good time. I feel really fortunate that I was able to enjoy Western at that time.
Would you consider yourself an extrovert?
Very much so.
I got a sense of that when the social life was important.
Yeah.
What was going to come after that, and how and when was that decision made?
That's an interesting question. There was not a lot of talk of any of us girls going to college, and I'm talking about from both my parents and from my school. And so we sort of, I don't know, we just sort of flitted around, and somebody would say, well, I'm going to go to Goshen. And so the other person would say, oh, well, then I'll go to Goshen too. And it was just not after going through the experience with both of my boys of selecting colleges, it's just so strange how different it is now. But my dad went to EMU, and so it seemed obvious that I would go to EMU. None of my friends went to EMU, and that was a little bit hard when I got there. Most of them went to Goshen.
So Eastern Mennonite College University in Harrisonburg,
yep.
Virginia.
That's right. I was a home ec major. I loved clothes, and I still do. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I was sort of forced to wear a certain kind of clothing, and I wanted to wear a different kind of, I wanted to wear jeans and fun things, and I could only wear dresses. And so I just developed this desire for expression in my wardrobe. And in home economics, there was sewing, and I sewed a lot. I still love to sew. So home ec had sewing, and I don't know if I thought I was going to major in sewing. I'm not really sure what I was thinking. But at EMU, the home ec program was canceled after my first year, and I was really sad about that, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but by then I knew that I wanted to work in fashion, and I didn't feel like I could continue at EMC, so I transferred to Oregon State, and I graduated from Oregon State with a degree in fashion merchandising. And one of the things that I thought was fun when I graduated was I was pretty sure I was the only Mennonite that has a fashion merchandising degree at the time. I don't think that's true anymore.
So you just went for 1 year to EMC.
That's right.
Again, that was pretty far from home, although you were now used to living in a dorm. What difference did it make that you were clear across the country now?
I loved being on the East Coast. So it for me, it was, I had cousins there, and I could travel to Washington, D.C., and I traveled to New York, and I didn't go home until I had to, and really, really loved being on the East Coast. I was sad to have to leave the East Coast. I just.
During those growing up years, say teenage years, early 20s, did you have any jobs that were bringing in money?
Oh, yeah. I had some fun ones. My first job was cleaning toilets and peeling potatoes at the Mennonite home, which was in McMinnville. I think it was called Rock of Ages.
The retirement community?
Yes, it's still there. I think that I was paid $2.40 or $2.50 an hour, and I did that every Saturday. And then I worked as a certified nurse's aide after that in the summers, and hopefully I was paid a little bit more from there. And I also picked my share of strawberries. That's how I paid for some of my fabric that I wanted to buy. And I also worked at the cannery in West Salem, and I worked on the bean line. And I, to this day, don't eat beans.
The money that you made at these jobs, was that your money, or did you need to give it to the family?
Oh, it was my money.
And you've already mentioned that you bought fabric.
Yeah.
Just backing up, with regard to sewing, is this something that you learned to do at home with your mother or grandparents?
Yeah, it is. I was in 4-H, and my mom taught me how to sew. And in 4-H, at the end of the year, you put something in the fair. And I remember making a skirt out of Pendleton fabric, and at the Oregon State Fair, it won a blue ribbon.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So now you're through college with this interesting degree. Any idea what you were going to do with that?
Yeah, I did. I worked at the Meyer and Frank in Salem, and my goal was to work there as a buyer. So after I graduated, I worked at Meyer and Frank in the buying training program. And I was there for about a year and a half and decided that I wanted to do the same thing, but at Fred Meyer. And so I worked at Fred Meyer for about 12 years and was a women's apparel buyer there for most of that time. And I really enjoyed that job and working at Fred Meyer. It was a great experience. We traveled to New York about every 6 weeks. I traveled to Asia every year and then visited our stores, which were in 5 states. So I did a lot of traveling and I really liked that.
Give us some idea of what specifically that job entailed. What were you specifically doing?
I was buying apparel that was sold at the Fred Meyers, at most of the Fred Meyers. I bought women's casual sportswear. The thing that I bought, I think, the most of was Levi's jeans. I remember one of my purchase orders that I signed, because we signed them back then, but I signed a purchase order that was for $425,000 worth of Levi's jeans. If you can even imagine, that was more than my dad spent on our farm.
During all of this time, what role was church playing in your life?
Church was always Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer sessions. So church was a very big part of all of my growing up. I went to Glenwood Springs Mennonite Church in Colorado. That's where I was baptized. And then I went to Western Mennonite Church, which I didn't thoroughly enjoy. I always wanted to go to Salem Mennonite Church, where my friends were.
And at what point did you end up in Portland?
With Fred Meyer, I came to Portland. That was my goal, was to get to Portland. And I was really happy to finally be in Portland. And I have not left since, and I plan to never leave Portland if I can help it.
Because?
Oh, it's so much me. It's an outdoor city. It's a progressive city. It's the food, the culture, the wine. I really love the people here. I can go hiking. I can go skiing. I can go running. I can just live my life here. I really love Portland.
And it's finally a sort of big city.
Yeah, that's been an interesting and fun thing to watch for me. I know sometimes people feel sad about their city becoming, or their town becoming a city. And I have always felt really excited about the growth that's in Portland. I think it's because it hasn't changed the way I live. And so I can still do what I want to do. The traffic's not that terrible. And right now, in COVID, the traffic's wonderful.
At some point in your story, there were two sons who came into your life. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, yes, I have two boys, Jake, who is 23, and William, who is 19. I was married in 1993. I was the first person to get married at Western Mennonites New Chapel at the time. So that was a lot of fun. I was married for about 13 years. And when we were first married, we lived in Southeast Portland and attended Portland Mennonite Church. And then when Jake was born, we moved to the west side from the east side, and we went to a church that was closer over there. We went to a Presbyterian church, and that was followed by a time at a Covenant church. And when Jake became a young teenager, young teen, I realized that he was going to have to make a decision about being a conscientious objector. And I didn't feel like I had equipped him well enough. And so I started to think about going back to Portland Mennonite. And we started going there again. And both the boys had a great experience at Portland Mennonite during their MYF years. And I credit Kurt Weaver with the teachings and the warmth and love that he has shown my boys and many other people along the way. I'm really grateful for that. So yes, Jake is 23 and he just graduated from Oregon State, which I'm excited about. It's interesting having a college graduate now. It feels like a circle has completed in a way. I'm excited for him and for his future. He has an engineering degree, and William is 19 and he is attending Whittier College in Los Angeles, and William is hoping to get a degree in technical theater design and also political science.
And you are back at Portland Mennonite and have been for some time.
Yeah, and I should add, if part of my coming back to Portland Mennonite was the time that I spent as the manager of the 10,000 Villages store. When that role opened up, I was so excited to apply for that job. It was 2005, and I worked there for 3 years until the store closed. But part of that was sitting in the store, working, and being close to the volunteers that came in. There were about 45 volunteers, and many were from Portland Mennonite, and just experiencing the dedication and the ethic that they showed for fair trade and for helping the justice and social issues that we face. It just helped me think that I too needed to come back to Portland Mennonite, come back to my roots, and sort of, again, complete a circle that had started when I was basically born for the faith in the Mennonite Church. I'm really glad to be back.
And full disclosure, I was one of those volunteers.
Yes, you were. We had good times, didn't we?
We did have good times. So what are you doing now for your profession in the midst of this pandemic?
Oh, I work for Adidas, and I work in retail operations for Adidas. It's a job that I am really loving right now, especially since I'm able to work from home and don't have to drive to work and sit in an office all day. So it's worked out really well for me. It's surprisingly, as an introvert, I really love being at home, and I love working solo and being in charge of my own time and how I want to manage my energy. So yeah, I like that a lot.
I think you meant as an extrovert.
Yeah, thank you. I did.
And I do have to mention that you and I are recording this the morning after we learned of the death of Justice Ginsburg. And I know that this is tough for us. Speak a little bit about how you're feeling.
Well, I have been reading a lot and thinking a lot. And I'm not as worried as I was when I initially heard the news, because I feel like there is an opportunity for us to really go and fight. And I mean fight in the real sense of the word. Like, we've got to pull out all the stops right now. So I feel a little bit energized about that, thinking again about what my role is and what I need to do.
What are you reading right now?
I am reading Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell. It's an interesting book. It's about race relations and how we have, I'm not very far into it actually, but it's about how we have encounters with people that are, it's about the backgrounds between two people who have encounters that go awry and how that happens and hopefully how to make that so it doesn't happen as badly as it sometimes does.
And when this pandemic is finally over, what is something or some things that you're looking forward to again?
I love that question. I love to travel. I've done a lot of traveling. And so the first thing I'm going to do is get on an airplane. I don't care where it goes. Yeah. And being with friends and hugging my friends and hugging people and just touching people, just something that I very much miss. I'm looking forward to that.
What is something about you that most of the people at Portland Mennonite don't know?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm going to answer that. Let me just think a little bit, okay? I should ask somebody else. You should ask Jenny.
Are there activities that you're involved in or things that you enjoy that we maybe don't know anything about?
I hope that I live my life as an open book. I think maybe a lot of people might not know that I climbed Mount Hood and that I am a Mazama. I've climbed 4 glaciated peaks. There we go. There's something. When I was going through my divorce, one of the things that helped me was going on hikes and climbs and just sort of feeling a sense of accomplishment when I could get to the top of a mountain. And climbing Mount Hood was the pinnacle of my climbing. And one of the things about climbing is that it makes you feel like if you can do this, you can do a lot of other things. So climbing Mount Hood is something that I think about when I have something in front of me that seems difficult. And I kind of say to myself, if you can climb Mount Hood, you can do this. So that's, yeah.
And finally, I know that you said that you'd get on an airplane and go anywhere, but is there some place in the world that you have not yet been that you really would like to get to at some point?
Yeah, there is. I have not been to South America, and I don't have a specific idea in mind of where I'd like to go, but I feel like that's beautiful country. Yeah, I think South America. New Zealand would also be on that list.
Well, thank you so much, Lois, for taking the time to share some of your stories with us.
Thank you, Gloria, and I really appreciate the service that you're doing. I think this is so much fun, and I love learning about other people at Portland Mennonite in a way that we never would if it weren't for COVID. So thank you for your efforts.
You are most welcome. And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. We hope you discovered something new and feel more connected with your friends at Portland Mennonite. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.